I invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we will be considering the entire chapter in relation to Lord's Day 49 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasing, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Now we turn to Lord's Day 49 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 49, question 124 asks, what does the third petition mean? And the answer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. And help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. your brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the commands of God, we read them this morning, and we can use them as the ten. We can use the Ten Commandments as the perfect example. There is always restraints put upon the negative aspect of the command, and encouragements put upon the positive. For example, the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." This means do not worship other gods, and of course, worship God alone. The fourth commandment for the Sabbath, the day is to be kept holy. On it you shall not do any work, and on it you shall rest as the Lord your God rested. And perhaps it's seen most clearly from the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. By this command, do not kill. And by this command, the sanctity and value of life must be promoted. In the Ten Commandments, we are told what not to do and what we ought to do. What not to do and what we ought to do. Following the will of God means seeking after Him in this way. Pursuing the wisdom of God means shedding off our own understanding and dwelling upon God's. In this, what God has thought outweighs the conclusions that we can draw. We understand this from the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Christ taught us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Today, under the magisterial authority of God's Word given to us from Proverbs 3, and as summarized for us in Lord's Day 49, we shall see that pursuing the wisdom of God is better than what the sinful heart wants. Pursuing the wisdom of God is better than what the sinful heart wants. And we have 2 points this afternoon. Firstly, the shortcomings of humanity, and then secondly, the superiority of God. Firstly, then, the shortcomings of humanity. We humans tend to think we've got it all figured out. It began with getting the knowledge of good and evil from the tree in the garden. We call it the fall of man, and in it something was added to our existence. By the standards of God, it was unnecessary and spoken of against. But humanity chose otherwise. He chose to add the knowledge of good and evil, but he had no idea that the evil would cling so closely to the person. By taking such knowledge on his own, he lost the privilege of learning anything else from before the face of God. No longer could humanity do the will of God to the standard that his holiness demands, and so humanity was exiled from the garden until the standard could be met once more. Question 124 asks, what does the third petition mean? And the answer begins, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. In this first part of the question, we see the negative restraint. We must pull back our own assessments. We must realize, firstly, that perhaps we don't have everything figured out. We must realize that as wise as we think we are, it perhaps would be better to rely more upon what God would teach rather than what we think we need or want. Now, Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Solomon, David's son, the one who asked for godly wisdom and received it, that's 1 Kings 3 and 2 Chronicles 1, is said to be its major contributor. And right off the get-go, verse 1 begins, "My son, do not forget my law." For Solomon, godly wisdom begins by dwelling upon the law of God. This is where we begin. This is where it starts. Fallen man, if he can have any sort of benefit in his life, ought not throw aside the shackles of the law, but abide by it. The law should be on our minds. The law should guide. It must be that unchangeable standard by which we can compare all things. The law tells us how to live rightly. Verse 3 begins, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." The ESV, the English Standard Version, uses the word steadfast love and faithfulness here. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Such words are used to describe God's covenantal interest in us. He is merciful and full of truth. He is steadfast in his love. And faithfulness defines the promises he makes. These ought to describe our response to the law, our contribution to the covenant. Such things must be pursued and not neglected. The last half of verse 5 says, "And lean not upon your own understanding." The human heart and mind are so closed off. We can only go on by what we see, by what we hear, by what we touch. By experience alone, we respond to the circumstances of life rather than respond to He who created life and guides it, even by His own law. Verse 7 begins, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." This is what leaning upon your own understanding does. It closes the mind. It leaves no room for God's interpretation for your life. Verse 11 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction." No one likes to be corrected. No one likes to be pruned. No child wants to be told he or she cannot do something. The independent heart would rather get hurt than learn from others the folly of their ways, their own ways. The fallen heart sees not the love of God involved in the preventative maintenance of the soul. The sin won't let him. But nevertheless, the discipline is designed for your good. Verse 12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights." We jump down now to verse 25. "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes." There is no defense against the terror you can't see coming, congregation. There's no defense against the terror that you cannot see to coming. The verse doesn't say if it comes, but when it comes. Those who are on their own in this life cannot rely upon the experience of others, let alone the infinite wisdom of God to defend against the unknown foe. But if God is your witness, verse 26, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, and it is the power of your hand to do so. Somebody said once that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You must have known such power or simply looked back in history to see what such power does when not held fast by God's law. In this, the transgressor has not only thought of the transgression, but has gone out of his way to exact harm towards another. There is premeditation and follow through with the intent to lord over another. This is called offensive hate. It goes out looking to destroy. Verse 28. "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you. In this you gain nothing for yourself and create issue for your neighbor. If the weight is at your own expense, that's one thing, but this is not even the case in this verse. In this, one goes out of his way to make someone else's life more difficult. There is devilish intent in it. This is what the devil seeks to do against the children of God. Verse 29, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. And this someone has come to you, perhaps because of the terror announced in verse 25. He has placed himself, his well-being, perhaps the well-being of others, in your hands. And then in your heart and in your hands you go out yet to do evil towards him. Verse 30, do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Now you're just looking for trouble to create it and to profit from it. There's no gain in it for you. There's no protecting yourself from this evil because there's no evil present. This is just hurting someone for the sake of hurting them. Such things, the sinful, lawless heart dwells upon. And when you see others doing these things, verse 31 and 32 say, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. Verse 33 says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. Verse 34 begins, surely he scorns the scornful. And verse 35 ends, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Why does Solomon list all of these things? Because he, with God-given wisdom, looked out amongst his people and saw all of these things in the human heart held not back by the law of God. We see these things today when the human heart is not held back by the law of God. The evil is deplorable. The sin convicts and prepares the faithless for eternal fire. Without the guiding effort of God's law, humanity is lost to her own devices, rooted in sin and headed towards destruction. Such are the shortcomings of humanity when pursuing what the sinful heart wants. Secondly, the superiority of God. We humans had better figure out that it is God's infinite wisdom that regulates and maintains all things. By His majesty and by His mighty providence do all things come to pass. Through His love and patience do all things come to fruition. God gave good instruction to Adam and Eve. Had they obeyed, they would have helped God build that garden into a golden city. But you know and I know that didn't happen. God ordained that man would come to know what good and what evil is and does, and then he would come to guide him through it, using the law, no doubt, but completing in him also through grace by the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Question 124 asks once again, what does the third petition mean? And by this, the answer finishes off with, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help everyone out of his office and calling. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. In the second part of the question, we have the positive encouragement. The last part had the negative restraint. Now we have the positive encouragement. In this we know that we have failed. In this we know that we have fallen short. In this we know that the glory of God has not been at the forefront of our minds, are simply God's requirements for us. That we do not know it all. That we admit that this is the case. And that we also admit that God does. In this, God's wisdom reigns, and that if He has given us a law to live by, then we should live by it. Verse 1 begins, "My son, do not forget my law," and then continues on, "But let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Would living closely to the Ten Commandments be a help in your life, or a catastrophic mistake? Have you thought about this? Would loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength through the first four commandments and loving your neighbor as yourself through the last six be a help or a hindrance to your life? I want to say this again. Would loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength through the first four commandments and loving your neighbor as yourself through the last six be a help or a hindrance in your life, congregation? Verse 3 says, to take that mercy, take that truth, and bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5 ends, and lean not on your own understanding, but it begins with trust in the Lord with all your heart. And verse 6 follows, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In all that you do, consider the Lord first. We must ask what His will for us and our lives must be, and then we must proceed in confidence that the Lord our God has seen it. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but instead fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it will be a health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We live in a world so full of fear. Catastrophe gives us work to do. There is a security system for this, there is an insurance policy for that, and now these things are not bad in and of themselves, but then when we are convinced that such human efforts will protect us against all things, we fail to see the hand of God in them, and we cling to humanity's hand against Him. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits, all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In this, God commands to give back. In this, we are to realize that any blessing we have, any triumph of success we've attained, any gift we have received, and especially in those things that we have especially worked so hard for, we must realize that these things are given by God for us to glorify Him alone. We must do the work in His name. We must be the servant who is given the 5 talents of Matthew 25, who turns them into 10 only to be called good and faithful and then given more to rule over. What follows in verses 13 to 24 is the beauty, peace, and security of what having such wisdom represents. And then from where such wisdom comes from and is found. And then the value of holding on to the wisdom of God so readily given. Let's follow with me through these verses 13 to 18. The beauty and peace and security of what having such wisdom represents. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. And then we have verses 19 and 20. From where such wisdom comes from and is found, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds drop down the dew. And then verses 21 to 24, the value of holding on to the wisdom of God so readily given. My son, Solomon says again, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. This is active, forward, moving, God glorifying living. It is based upon the goodness of God, the overwhelming archetypal knowledge He possesses, and the infinite wisdom with which He expresses it. God does not just command us to restrain the sin, but to be a blessing to Him and to others, to all creation. This is tending and keeping, Genesis 2:15 type language, done right. This is what God wants from and for His image bearers with such advice and command. We do not find ourselves at odds with one another. We do not face each other in conflict. But all are looking to God together, hand in hand, if you will, glorifying our Lord and resting upon His strength and knowledge, His love to see all things come and fulfill His plan for all creation. Verse 32, His secret counsels with the upright. Verse 33, He blesses the home of the just. Verse 34, He gives grace to the humble. The will and wisdom of God is far superior to anything humanity can think of. Where we cannot see the heart, God has seen it and directed all things for our good. Where we cannot see the devil coming, God has seen him and has prepared a place for him. Far away from his church, the church of Jesus Christ, a place where moth destroys, a place where rust breaks down, a pit of fire, a place for eternal torment for all those who consider their own wisdom to the superiority of God's. But for those who dwell upon the good graces of the Lord, for those who have seen their own sin, have repented of it, and continue to repent of it. For all those who have the will, who have and will trust God, the Lord, and His wisdom for their salvation, have heard the gospel message of God's saving grace, have believed it, have understood that it is given through the person and work of the Son, that it is applied to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. For all of these things, for you, congregation, take comfort. The woes of this life, the devilish intent pointed towards you and all those who love your Lord, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they will meet their preordained end, and so will we. But the difference is this. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but the shame shall be the legacy of fools. Those found guided by wisdom, by the wisdom of God and not their own, will see Him face to face. We will see the church triumphant. We will be the church triumphant. We will eat and drink with Jesus Christ in heaven. We will live on in hope fulfilled. And well, those who figure they've got all of this figured out on their own and that they don't need God, His love, or wisdom to rule this world, shame will be their legacy. Eternal torment their end. May we never see the second half of verse 35. May we go out and save others from such things. We have inherited glory by the wisdom of God. The Great Commission by Jesus Christ Himself has been given. We know what to do. The Spirit has been sent to build Christ's church and to bring God's wisdom to her. May we cling to these things. May we come to realize that pursuing the wisdom of God is far better than what the sinful heart wants. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, praise, glory, and honor be to you for your majestic wisdom, for your complete and full knowledge of all that has happened, all that will happen. Father, your plan has taken place flawlessly since eternity, and it will continue on this way until your will is complete for your creatures. Let us not rely upon our own strengths, our own wisdom, our own glory, but upon your strengths and your wisdom and your glory. Keep us humble, dear Lord. We are nothing in your sight, and yet we are made into something holy and fine and pure. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.